If you're listening to this podcast right now, there is a chance that you're thinking inside your head, I don't like country music. But I'm going to start this episode with something controversial. You're fucking wrong. And that's not because you're a bad person. It's just likely that you have not dug into a genre that is so rich to include music from every genre. And so my hope is that today, when you listen to this episode, Country Music for Non-Country Music Fans, Jordan and I have selected at least one song, one artist that will convince you that country music is amazing. So come along with us on our journey, y'all. Welcome to Sounds Good to Us. You are listening to Sounds Good to Us. I'm Gregory Hill.
And I'm Jordan Stone.
In today's very special season two kickoff episode, Jordan and I will be talking about country music, y'all. That's right. An entire episode dedicated to country music. Wait. Don't turn it off. Because if you don't like country music, specifically this episode is for you. So keep listening. Because we are going to talk exclusively about the country music artists that we believe are best to win over non-country music fans. Jordan, you ready for this shit?
Absolutely. I've been waiting for weeks because we've been on a break. So let's get it popping.
Literally, Jordan and I have done nothing else except sitting quietly for 3 weeks since season one ended. What's new in your life, Jordan?
Sitting on the couch waiting for season two to start.
Oh, yes. Commit to the bit. All right, so let's talk about some bold statements. We're going to try to kick this off here to sort of contextualize the choices that we will make in this episode, the very special choices, the country artists that we believe are best for non-country music fans. We're going to talk about a couple of things. We'll get into the rules for our playlist, but first, a couple of bold statements. Jordan, I'm going to kick us off here. First, when people say, this is bold statement number one, when people say that they don't like country music, to me, that just means they don't think for themselves. And let me explain what I think that means. When you say you don't like something categorically, you're simply not really a critical thinker. And the reason why is because country music, like anything, is such a large genre that it should be impossible not to be able to find one thing within that genre that suits your own tastes, right? I'm not saying that everyone has to like every single thing about country music. And I know that we're very positive on this podcast, but part of becoming a person who enjoys art, which is music or even food or, you know, regular art or movies or whatever, it is coming up with what you like and don't like and why. That's part of it. So I'm not saying you have to like everything in country, but to say that you hate everything in country, to me, is the same thing as saying that you like everything in country. It means that you have not sat down and actually thought about why you think something is good or bad. What do you think about that?
Couldn't agree more.
All right. Second thing, second bold statement I'll make is right now in 2021, country music is better now than it ever has been in the history of the genre, period. It's more diverse in people, in stories, in sound. Right now, country music is better than it has been in the 30s, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s. It's better now than it ever has been. Agree or disagree?
I will retweet that. You've got, which I'm going to talk about, so many sub-genres of country and pop country that has emerged. There's got to be something for you out there, and this episode's going to prove it.
For sure. I mean, it's like when people argue about sports and whether or not sports are better now than they used to be. Well, the answer should always, obviously, they're better now because the people who are playing now benefit from the development of everything that came before it. Exactly. Now, we could argue about whether or not you like it more or you like it less. And I think that's certainly a conversation that we can have on Twitter. But I will argue that it's the best now. Here is my third of four bold takes here. The radio establishment still does, more than any other genre, have a hold on country music, right? This is something, if you're not a country music fan, you don't live in Nashville, you don't follow the industry, country radio still rules. But there are becoming larger and larger and larger cracks in the armor. Spotify, TikTok, YouTube. It's making it more and more the gatekeepers at WSM or FM radio for country don't matter as much anymore. not because it's possible for anyone to be able to create music, because some people shouldn't create music, they're not talented, but because it's so much easier to find someone who would have been overlooked by the sort of capitalist industrial music radio machine of prior days. It's easier now than ever to find something you like, and it's becoming harder and harder for the previous gatekeepers to keep control. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. So these days, you can launch your career on the internet with no label, with no backing, with no money. You can do it yourself, and then country radio has to take note, take notice. That's the way they kind of A&R their way mm-hmm. into learning these songs, and then you get on the radio, then you become famous. That just hasn't happened in the history of American music until now.
Yeah, I mean, there are artists that we're going to talk about today that have not been played on Nashville radio once.
Yep.
And they have not shown up at the Grand Ole Opry. They have not done anything that would have been necessary for you or me to hear about them 10 years ago. Now, we've heard about most of these artists via completely different channels, and I think that's a net positive. Here's my last bold statement. Every single artist that we're going to talk about today, you would probably try to, if you were a fan of them, not call them country. You would say Americana or bluegrass or folk or singer-songwriter. Lean the fuck in to calling country music, okay? We are going to talk about artists that are completely all over the map here, but they are all country music artists. And we're going to talk about what we mean by country. We're going to talk about why you should care about country. We're going to talk about why, even if you think you hate country, you actually don't. You love country. But I want to quote Tyler Childress, who we're going to talk about today as one of our choices. He made an incredible speech at the 2018 Americana Music Awards. Now, latent in that title is Americana, right? So he's receiving an award in a room full of people who fancy themselves not country artists, but Americana artists. And in front of this body that just gave him this Americana Music Award, he says, "I'm not sure how all this came about. Best I can tell, y'all left your back door open. Now there's a stark raving hill jack in your living room covered in goat's blood. As a man who identifies as a country music singer, I feel like Americana ain't no part of nothing. It is a distraction from the issues that we were facing on a bigger level as country music singers, and it kind of feels like a purgatory," which is the name of his first album. And so if Tyler Childress, where a lot of artists would want to distance themselves from country music and say that they're not country musicians, they're Americana, folk, bluegrass, roots, whatever, this is one of the best country musicians who is labeled as anything else but a country artist, saying, "No, I'm a fucking country artist," and that's awesome. Country's never been a singular sound. It never will. And the way that I think about this is, if part of the reason why you don't want to like country is because you associate country music with a bunch of douchebag bro country artists or a twang or a sound that you don't think you like, there is enough in this big tent from you. Enjoy country music for what it is. And I promise you, after listening to this episode, you will find something you like.
If someone said, "Is Ryan Adams country?" I would say yes.
Yeah.
"Is Avett Brothers country?" I would say yes. "Are the Eagles country?" Yes.
Yep.
Listen to the songs "Already Gone," "Tequila Sunrise" by the Eagles. That's a country band.
Yeah.
So saying you don't like country is saying you don't like a lot of music. And we'll talk more about that today.
For sure. All right, Jordan, hit me with some of your bold statements.
Okay. So first for me is the two best genres of music are country and rock. Now, that's my opinion, obviously. And I can make the argument that country is the best overall genre of music because of the subgenres. So country to me is a main genre with many subgenres of it. You've got pop country to traditional country, bluegrass, folk, Americana, singer-songwriter. The list goes on. I won't go into every single one, but country is a massive, massive umbrella.
I agree with the country part. I would replace rock with rap, but I think what we're going to make a point of today is that all of the music that we're playing, it's almost impossible to discern what genre it is today anyway. So like my question to you, and I think this is a good time to talk about it because we're going to talk about this a lot today. How is country defined to you?
It has to have some kind of twang. It right. has to have some combination of acoustic guitar, banjo, mandolin, fiddle, steel guitar. It has to have something that has that kind of country western, as you'd call it back in the day, mm-hmm. either sound, styling, or undertone.
Okay.
If it doesn't have any of that, it cannot be categorized as country. And the songs we chose today, even the Black Pumas, which I'm going to talk about here mm-hmm. in a minute, it has that undertone. It's not in your face, but it has the undertone of country.
Even though sort of all of these genres have similar roots, the way that I think about the difference is, like, country music is still about stories, right? Like, the sound varies so much across what we have, but I still think that country is the best songwriting genre. It is where words matter for sure. Most. No, whereas for sure. A lot of my favorite rock musicians, their words are somewhat indistinguishable from the noise, like, and the cacophony that's created from the music.
Stairway to Heaven is, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So I think, like, that's why I like country. I'm a words person. I know you're not. So, like, country and rap to me are my favorite because they're word forward. Whereas things like rock, jazz, classical are very much melody forward. So that's, I know that was kind of an impromptu conversation, but I think it's important because we're almost going to have to question ourselves throughout this episode about what we mean by country. And so I think it's important at least to start out with what is sort of our general hypothesis of what the genre is.
People who say new country sucks are either lazy or aren't paying attention. We're going to change that today. It's just such a stupid overarching statement that isn't fair and it's lazy. Also, just two small, bold statements to finish us off here. I'm going to introduce you to a brand new artist today who you've never heard of that will win Grammys next year. The second, I'm going to introduce you to the dark side of the moon of country music. So stick around for that.
Let's get into the meat and bones. If you listen to previous episodes, obviously this episode is quite different. We are kicking off season two. In this episode, we will only focus on the playlist of these country songs for non-country fans. You can find that playlist and every single other playlist at soundsgoodtous.com. Secondly, I want to set a couple of ground rules. We're not choosing from every single generation of country today. We're only focused on musicians that are currently active. And our goal by active was not just are still producing records. Like, you're not going to see Alan Jackson on this list. You're going to see artists that are, like, genuinely new. And their newness to you is probably going to be a function of how recent they started making music. That's not always going to be true. But we wanted to keep this really fresh. And we wanted to introduce you to artists that you haven't heard before in case you listen to pop radio that might have had a crossover hit, or you know someone who likes country music and has been trying to convince you to listen to someone who's a star. There is not a single person on this list today that I would consider a conventional star in country music. We included a bunch of different shit. If you're a rock person, there's going to be rock. If you're R&B, if you're rap. So it's going to be new artists. Hopefully people you haven't heard of before, and each one representing a sound that we hope connects with you. And then via that artist, what you should be thinking about is, okay, what else can I now listen to within country that's like this person? And without further ado, Jordan, kick us off with what song number one on our playlist, Country Music for Non-Country Music Fans.
First up is Wilder Days by Morgan Wade.
You say you hate the smell of cigarette smoke.
Morgan Wade is a brand new artist, so new in fact that she doesn't even have a Wikipedia page. Amazing. As we are talking about this episode. And I hope someone's listening to this like a year from now and she's won Grammys and she's a big artist and like, holy crap, she didn't have a Wikipedia page. Well, this is being recorded in October of 2021. So at this moment, she has no Wikipedia. She's 26 years old. She's from Virginia. Her debut album, Reckless, was released in March of this year. My favorite male country artist of the last 5 years is easily Tyler Childers. My favorite female country artist of the last 5 years is Morgan Wade. This album is special. It's unique. It's different. Her voice is nothing like anything coming out of Nashville right now. She's from Virginia, but she moved and lives in Nashville and is recording here. This is my favorite album so far of 2021.
For sure. So a couple of follow-up questions. You chose this specifically, you said, for the songwriter, the sort of lyricism, the folkier nature of what country music can be. Who is this for? Do you have someone in your head who you know doesn't like country and you're like, I'm going to go with Morgan Wade? Or is there a type of person, or is there another artist that someone likes that you think Morgan Wade is a good entry point because they like that artist?
to me, she's like a Lucinda Williams. She's not, you know, front and center country. She's not traditional country, but she's that singer-songwriter that leans to the folk, the country side. She's like, we mentioned Ryan Adams, right? Mm-hmm. She's on the more Ryan Adams side of things. It's not pop country at all. It's not that it's not poppy. It just doesn't fit into the pop country Nashville box, which is great. I hope this puts us in a new direction. So if you like the singer-songwriter folk Americana side of things, I think you'll love Morgan Wade.
Is there any reason why a Billie Eilish fan shouldn't like Morgan Wade?
First thought is that they're all Gen Zs.
No, but seriously, that's what we're up against, right? So like if we're trying, is an entry point for Gen Z listening to Billie Eilish or even millennials listening to Lorde 10 years ago, like, yeah, is this the entry point or is that off base?
That's a great question. I think it is the entry point. I think if you're a Gen Z, you're 19 years old and you love Billie Eilish, I think Morgan Wade could be your entry point to country. You know, calling her the Billie Eilish of country isn't a big stretch.
My next choice is someone who Jordan and I are both, I would say, obsessed with, is fair to say. In fact, if we go to a Tyler show, we're going to be asked to leave. But my choice is the artist Tyler Childers and the song Tattoos. I'm now her used to be. He is now the one she needs. He is now the one she leaves. She looks out at the sun. My pitch and sort of who this artist is for, if you say, oh, I don't like country music, my response would be, do you like words? And if you answered no, I would think that you were weird because you said a word and that just means that you just don't like the words you're saying. But if you said yes, I would say then you will definitively love Tyler Childers. I said this earlier, I think the pound for pound, the best songwriters in the world make country music and rap. We're talking about country in the future. Maybe we'll make something like this for rap. But if you like lyrics, if you like choices that lyricists make, if you like listening to a song and trying to understand what it's about or piecing together the imagery, the allegories, if you liked English class in school, if these are things that you enjoy, if you like to read, this is for you. The specificity of his writing, the emotional resonance that he's able to create through his lyrics, to me is unparalleled. I believe him right now to be at the top of the heap of all songwriters in the world right now, actively writing music. He's from Eastern Kentucky, which if you're from outside of the South, when you hear something like Appalachia, that's what you can picture, sort of mountainous region, typically very poor. His music sounds like a holler. You know, it's just, it's rambling, it's sad. It deals with legitimately depressing issues like drug addiction and working in a coal mine your entire life. But a lot of it can be fun and rollicking. Like his music is simply amazing. I'm not a music critic, so I'm not going to unpack everything that's in it, but it's just really great. I can recommend every single song that he's ever released. There's not a single one that's bad. Granted, he's only released technically 2 studio albums. It's like sort of 2.5. But start with Purgatory. Listen to all of Purgatory. If there is not a song on that album, as a non-country music fan, I'm speaking to you, that doesn't move you, then there's something wrong with you. I mean, his music will make you feel something in the same way that the first time you were moved by the Smiths or the Strokes or Billie Eilish, it doesn't matter, but like this music will move you if you get past the fact that you're not supposed to like it. The last thing I'll say is that this is also really embodies one of the themes that I'll talk about today, which is most people, when they think about country, they think about the past. They say that, oh, country music today sucks. Well, people say that about Generation Z, people say that about technology, people say that about food, people say that about everything. People hate to embrace change. The thing I love about Tyler is that if you don't like the newness of new country music sounds, he's the bridge between those two. He's going to sound safe to you, but he's singing about modern problems. He's singing about contemporary issues, and Tyler is, to me, why I'm so excited about the future of country music.
I agree with everything you just said. He's a generational talent. Please go listen to Tyler Childers. Next up is my rap country song I think you'll love. It's Bottle and Mary Jane by Jelly Roll.
So lately I'm drowning my pain with a bottle and Mary Jane. Coming down a back road, a cloud of fat smoke rolling out my window. Even though I'm damaged, I'm standing on all 10 toes. I'm lost where I should go from.
Jelly Roll, aka Jason DeFord, is a Nashville native. He's almost exactly the same age as Greg and myself, December of 1986, Greg. Not only that, not only is he our age, he grew up 5 minutes from where Greg and I did. He's from Antioch, Greg.
He would have been a junior, I guess, when we were seniors, right? Probably.
Yeah, so I think he was 1 year below us in school, in high school. So he's always combined country with hip hop, and I love that combination. It's really hard to do, and it's really hard to do well. He really took the next step with his 2020 album, A Beautiful Disaster, which features this song, A Bottle and Mary Jane. Also, check out his album, Self-Medicate, and the song Save Me.
That's the theme here.
True. You might have heard the song Save Me. It has a lot of plays. It has kind of like an underground following. It might have creeped into the mainstream. It's not like a radio hit by any means, but great song. I chose this song, A Bottle and Mary Jane, specifically because it combines country and rap in a very artistic way. It's not cheesy. It's not gratuitous. It's a fusion of two genres that deserves respect. First of all, the intro to this song sounds like a Metallica song. Check this out. He's got this awesome, raw, and raspy voice. The intro then goes into a hip-hop beat, which if you hear the intro, you're not expecting a hip-hop beat. It has 16th notes and 32nd notes, has rap bars, it has singing, and you get this combination of Southern rock, country, and rap in the same song. And it's done so really, really well. Some would argue it's not a country song, and they'd be right, it's not, but it's genres that are combining together, and country is absolutely at the root of this song. So if someone said, I like hip hop, but country sucks, I'd play them Bottle and Mary Jane by Jelly Roll.
Nice. I'm also going to stick with rap here, and I'm going to go with Breland and his song Throw It Back, which is a collab with Keith Urban.
Throw it back, drop it low, you can blame it on the jack. Slow it down. If you sexy and you know it, make it clap. Thought. Gotta thank Jesus, making it peaches. Georgia Bulldog, got me SEC6.
So when I went to college, I worked at a college radio station. And a majority of the music that we played was college radio music. And if you don't know what college radio music is, it's almost a genre within itself. It is music that is not mainstream, not on top 100 radio, and is conventionally popular amongst sort of hip college students in college towns that had radio stations. You can trace this back. You're talking about bands like REM, the Talking Heads, the Smiths, the Pixies. You're talking about music that's not conventionally popular. And invariably, when I would go there and I would ask people, what kind of music do you like? My response to that question would always be, I'm listening to these artists right now, or this is my favorite band, or this is music that my parents introduced me to. Not saying my answer was better or more interesting than anyone else's, but it was weird to me because people would always define themselves by genre. They would say, I like everything except country and rap. And that answer always annoyed me because if I were to choose two genres to keep and erase everything else, I would keep country and rap. So it's just such a weird thing to me. And I would talk to people about it. And it makes sense to me because that's what we listened to growing up. When you live in the South, if you're going to choose two genres, you're going to listen to country and you're going to listen to rap. And so it completely makes sense to me in the same way that you bring two ingredients together that most people wouldn't think work, but it works for you. It's like having salt and chocolate, right? Like it wouldn't make sense, the sweet and the savory, but you put them together and they make something beautiful. That's how country and rap to me pair. I think we're going to see much more of it. We've seen a lot of bad of it. We've seen white musicians, old white dudes making fun of rap, disingenuously doing it, or capitalizing because they know that it'll make it fun. You can go no further than listening to Fancy like, Fancy Like is 65% a rap song sung by a dad to make fun of himself. That's what most country rap has been. You go a little bit further back, you listen to a lot of Southern rap, you do hear lots of it. Like if you listen to Nappy Roots, even if you listen to Outkast, even if you listen to a lot of the stuff coming out of New Orleans, you hear country infused into it, but it's a little bit too far into rap to call it country. Breland is the first artist to me that is making rap within country that is pure country music. He is on the Grand Ole Opry. He's on CMT. He is almost mainstream country at this point. He's probably the most mainstream of the artists that I chose. He is backed by the establishment in country music, but yeah. He's making country music. And if you like rap, you should like Breland. To have a black artist making rap within country is really exciting, and I hope that we see a lot more of it. So check out Breland. If you like rap and want to get into country, this would be a good starting point.
Breland is fantastic. I agree. Next up is my bluegrass choice, and it's the song Windshield by Green Sky Bluegrass.
I don't know how I'm feeling, and no one can verify if everything is working properly, because it's all inside. And there's something on the windshield, but I can't fucking see. Besides, no one volunteers.
I have said this on the podcast before, but bluegrass is my favorite genre of live music. If you are visiting Nashville, please go to the Station Inn. It is bluegrass 7 nights a week. It's an incredible venue. It's just amazing. So put that on your list. My favorite instruments are banjo and mandolin, hence why I love bluegrass. So I set out to find a bluegrass song that would appeal to most of Sounds Good to Us listeners. So I chose Green Sky Bluegrass because they do a cover of Pink Floyd's Time from Dark Side of the Moon. It's brilliant. Take a listen.
No one told you where to run. You missed the starting gun.
But because it's a cover, I wanted to find something else from their catalog. This song checks a lot of country subgenre boxes. It's folk. It's Americana. It's bluegrass. It's singer-songwriter. So that really helped me kind of rise this song to the top of the list. It's hard to put a genre on this song, but it's absolutely country, no question. It's a bluegrass song, by the way, that also says fucking in it, which is pretty cool.
That fucks.
I'm not going to lie. I was like, you know what? That kind of bumps it to the top of the list. This is a really cool band making great modern bluegrass music with stand-up bass, steel guitar, banjo, mandolin. They're also great pickers, really talented guys. Give Green Sky Bluegrass a try if you're looking for something different in the country genre. Again, the purpose of this episode is people who say, I don't like country. Mm-hmm. We're trying to introduce you to things with country stylings, country influence, country, even if it's just a country song, we think you'll like, and I think this is a good bluegrass example.
I agree. My next choice is someone who's becoming increasingly more popular, but still someone that most of you probably haven't heard of, Zach Bryan. And I specifically wanted to choose a song, Godspeed.
I'm moving at Godspeed. Only God and my mama know what I need. And I feel the hardwood floors on my knees.
My rationale for this is what I wrote down was, if you like Johnny Cash, you'll like Zach Bryan. And what I mean by that is when I went, same college radio station, and the people who would say, oh, I hate country music, but I really love Johnny Cash. And there's two reasons why they said this. Number one is Johnny Cash embodies this rebel spirit. There's the picture of him flicking off. You know, he at that point was someone who the Man in Black, he was rock and roll. He was assumed by sort of the punk kids because he was anti-establishment. That's reason number one. The other reason is he later in his career got a lot of notoriety to people who wouldn't have conventionally been country music fans, right? Number one is he started collabing with Rick Rubin. His cover of Hurt at this point when I was in college had come out and people loved that song. And so he kind of rejuvenated his career in the eyes of many others. And then also the movie came out with Joaquin Phoenix and Reese Witherspoon. And invariably, most of the people you talk to, and you ask them what songs they like by Johnny Cash, they would say Hurt, or they would say one of the songs that was on the soundtrack to that movie. That's fine. I would hope that they would dig a little bit deeper into an artist as important as Johnny Cash, but they didn't. So here's what I'll say. If you're one of those people that can listen to a country music icon, albeit someone who might have gone against the grain of the country music establishment, if you can listen to Johnny Cash and say you hate the rest of country but still like Johnny Cash, check out Zach Bryan. And the reason why I say this is because a couple things. Number one, Zach Bryan has a pretty similar story, at least like a modern equivalent story to Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash was in the service. He started making music. He started sharing that music with people who continued to encourage him. And he sort of went the 1950s version of viral. He recorded in a studio and his music took off. Zach Bryan is currently an active duty member of the US Navy. And his friends started recording him singing on their iPhones and posting them to YouTube. One of his songs, Heading South, went viral and he got a record deal and has now released two albums. He's from Oogala, Oklahoma, small town, and his debut album, which was dedicated to his late mother, it was actually recorded in his barn, not some like fancy ass barn in Nashville, his own barn. This music is a part of him in the same way that if you've read about Johnny Cash, or even if you've seen the movie, or even if you know anything about Johnny Cash, know that his music was there to uncover a deep pain inside of him. And I believe Zach Bryan is in a similar place. There is a darkness within him that the music is hoping to sort of either bring light in or get the darkness out. And you listen to some of the deeper tracks of Johnny Cash and you get the same sense. His music can be brash, but he can be vulnerable. It can be thoughtful. It can be reflective. It can be quiet and it can be loud. I think Zach Bryan has a tremendous career ahead of him, but if you're someone who just wants to connect into music and you like Johnny Cash, I would find it hard to believe that you wouldn't like Zach Bryan.
Next up is my rock and roll choice. The song is called Brace for Impact, Live a Little by Sturgill Simpson.
Now love is crying.
This song is from 2016's A Sailor's Guide to Earth, which won Album of the Year, all genres, at the 2017 Grammys. It's not like I'm introducing something groundbreaking or underground here. You've maybe heard this album, and it won the biggest award in music in 2017. But there's a good chance you have not taken the time to listen to this album, so let's talk about it now. This is a top 5 country album of the past 2 decades. It is the Dark Side of the Moon of country albums. And what do I mean by that? It's sound. It just has this sound that you can't describe. And those of us that have listened to Dark Side of the Moon, which by the way is a Pink Floyd album for those listening that might not know, it has a sound. It's crazy. You put your headphones on, it takes you to a different place. There are not country albums that are made like this. It's also a concept album. Country albums are typically not concept albums. And it has 5+ minute long songs. You don't do that in modern country music. I've had the melody to this song, Brace for Impact, in my head all week. I encourage you to listen to it. It's the best song on the album. Of all the artists that I have chosen today, if I had to beg you to listen to one, it'd be Sturgill Simpson, and it'd be this album, A Sailor's Guide to Earth. So do me a favor and go listen to it from start to finish.
Yeah, I will say that there is a certain type of person that we can think about who would connect to this album, but like Sturgill in general. Did you know that every Sturgill, you probably know this, but every Sturgill album is a concept album. His career arc as a solo musician is a concept. So he has 5 albums he's released. He just released one this year. Most people, he's talked about this, but most people sort of assign to the 5 stages of mysticism: awakening, purgation, like purgatory, illumination, the dark night of the soul, and union with the other. And so the fact that he has had that intention to his career and outlined, it feels like fucking Sabbath and Pink Floyd, I think is a great, like the fact that you made that connection is like really, really interesting. So yeah, if you like rock, if you like getting high in a dorm room and listening to Fish or Dark Side of the Moon, you would love Sturgill Simpson. I think that's part of the reason why he has, most people talk about crossover appeal, they think about to pop. But I think this is such a great choice for you because I think Sturgill has actually crossed over a bit into rock. And that makes him a really, really interesting starting point for anyone who hasn't listened to him. Start here for sure.
It won Album of the Year, and I still think it's underappreciated.
Yeah.
It's still under... Please, please, please listen to this album.
All right. So my rock sort of comparison here is the artist Katie Pruitt, specifically her song Expectations. My argument here is if you like indie rock specifically, if you like that post Yeah Yeah Yeahs, I'm thinking of a very specific period of time. I'm thinking post alternative rock of the 90s. I'm thinking post like the Strokes and the White Stripes. I'm talking about like 2006 to maybe relatively recently. If you like any of that, but also if you like Taylor Swift's Folklore, if you liked her Evermore, if you like anything like The National, if you fancy yourself to be a folk fan, you're going to like Katie Pruitt. Listen to Katie Pruitt. If any of the artists or the descriptions that I just said resonate with you at all, and even if they don't, we hope you listen to everything on here and form your own opinions, but Katie Pruitt fits within that space. She was born in Atlanta, but she went to Belmont here in Nashville. So she moved here when she was young. She grew up in a really sort of conservative Catholic household. She's one of the few openly LGBTQ musicians in the country music. Her music is really raw. It's real. It can be sad. It can be fun. But above all, she's a just fantastic songwriter. So again, like we are showing a massive breadth of country. Country is fun, but country is also really sad. Country can be funky. It can be bluegrassy. It can rock. In this case, it can be brought down to like a really raw emotion. It can be about a small town and someone else's experience, but it can also be deeply personal and specific to your own experience, like people like Katie Pruitt, like Zach Bryan, but I think in a lot of ways, like Morgan Wade. And so you have these young artists who are bending the genre to themselves rather than bending themselves to the genre. And I think that Katie Pruitt's a really good example, again, of country music evolving and something that doesn't sound like country music did 10 years ago, but I still think it's firmly country music because of its attitude.
Last up for me is my R&B choice. That stands for Rhythm and Blues, for those taking notes at home. The song is Colors by Black Pumas. It's a good day to be, a good day for me, a good day to see my baby colors, colors. My sisters and my brothers, they see them like colors. A lot of people will hear this song and go, well, that's not country. And my response is simple. I don't give a fuck. The truth is they're an R&B, soul, and funk band. But here's the thing. They're from Austin, Texas. They've described themselves as a folk band. And remember, folk is a subgenre of country. This song is no short of incredible. It won Grammys. They won Best New Artist at the Grammys last year, which was really, really well deserved. There isn't just much music being made like this these days. I hope you hear that clip we just played. Go back and listen to it. And you're like, what the fuck is that? You've got simple acoustic guitar, organ, and Hammond organ. You've got jazz-style drums. It sounds like it was recorded in a southern church in 1966. I guarantee you that you haven't heard a song like this in 2021. just music isn't made like this anymore. If the Black Pumas came out in the 60s or 70s, they would be stars. Mm-hmm. Everyone would know their name, household name. But because it's 2021, they're not. So Greg and I will do our part. We'll put them out there. They won a Grammy for Best New Artist, but sounds good to us. Stamp of approval. The whole album is fantastic. It's nothing like you've heard. If someone was like, hey, new music sucks, I just hand them this album and mm-hmm. be like, listen to this. Yes, it's new, but it sounds like it's 50 years old.
Yep.
So go listen to Black Pumas. Put them on your list. They're incredible. No hyperbole. They're fantastic.
For sure. There's been two parts of my life. Like, one was probably meeting Jordan. The other one was leaving college, where I was always really super hyper conscious of what my musical taste said about me to other people, right? And my musical tastes up until meeting you, Jordan, and then after I went to college, I kind of went back to my old ways. And then after leaving college and finally getting old enough to be like, fuck it, I'm going to like what I like. It's so much about not thinking about what you like, but hoping that other people don't see you for who you are, right? Yeah. And I think for me, part of that is so much about the music that we listen to is governed by other people's expectations. And part of those expectations are categories. The thing that you have to remember is we're wrapping this country list off with music that you would describe as soul or R&B.
Yeah.
Is that these categories were fucking invented by people, right? And so most of the people, when they talk to you about something doesn't belong or something doesn't fit or something isn't country or something isn't soul or whatever, they put these categories in place in a way that most of the artists don't think about. Because I guarantee you, every talented artist or talented musician that you know doesn't say things like, I don't like this or that. Unless they're just an 80s or 90s rock band, I guess. But most musicians listen to everything. And I think if these categories, especially true when you talk about like the 60s and before, you're talking about musicians that they didn't consider themselves to necessarily be a genre all the time unless it became commercial music. And at which point commercial music had to categorize because then it had to be able to sell. So I think your choice is perfect. And that leads me into Yola is my last choice. If you're a fan of that bluesier, jazzier, soulsier, R&Bzier style of music, I think you'll love something like Walk Through Fire.
I think I'm gonna make a run. Oh Lord, oh Lord, I'm gonna make a run. The red hot coals are calling, and I know it's the only way.
And so my pitch to you again is if you're someone who just doesn't like the twang of country music and nothing else that we've said has sold you yet, but you just want someone to just put a fucking knife into your soul with their voice and just the force of nature that they are as a musician, Yola to me is that. She broke out in 2019 with her album Walk Through Fire, of which this is the title track. Her voice is incredible. We're talking about if you like Adele, if you like even Lizzo, but if you like, you know, Amy Winehouse, if you like some of these musicians that are known for having voices that are strong, you should like Yola. Her music is deeply soulful, and her 2021 album Stand For Myself is a really solid sophomore effort. I haven't spent as much time with it as I wanted to, but I spent a lot of time with Walk Through Fire, and it's fucking great. And so it kind of leads me to the last question is, like, I asked you before, Jordan, what is country music? This doesn't have any banjo on it. It doesn't have any mandolin. It doesn't have any twang. So it pushes the edges of country music. And to me, that's still about the stories. It's about telling the truth. It's about being authentic to who you are. And it's about you telling something about yourself that resonates with a broader group of people. All music is like that, but country is particularly defined by that approach. And what's interesting is Yola sometimes speaks to the fact that sometimes it takes someone outside of the Southeast to tell us what country music is. Yola was born in Bristol, England. She initially played a bunch of jazz and rock. She was a singer for hire for DJs in the local music scene, like people like Massive Attack and Sub Focus. But then she broke out completely, mostly on the strength of her voice, And Dan Auerbach from the Black Keys produced her first album. It was recorded at the Easy Eye Studio in Nashville. And so it has a Nashville-ness. It has a Southern rock-ness. It has a Southern soul-ness to it that backs up this tremendous voice that she has. It feels like a country gospel blues song. The raspiness of her voice just gives it that feeling that, you know, we have when we think about Southern music. And it just shines over this really simple track. Yola is the culmination of this episode where we've walked you through how diverse country music is. And if you can't find something in it, you gotta fucking look inside, man. Like, if you just can't find something you like in country music, there is something deeply, severely, and painfully wrong with you.
No offense.
If you say no offense, it's okay, right?
Yeah. No offense makes it all okay.
For sure. So that wraps it up, Jordan. Any other parting words before we get to the outro here?
One of your thoughts as a listener might be, these guys are obsessed with genres. What's the deal? Why are they keep talking about genres and everyone's genreless and all the genres are combined together? I'm going to just make it really simple for you. The Beatles formed in the early 60s when the Beatles were inspired by other music. Think about the really, really narrow genres of music the Beatles were inspired by in like 1960. You've got rock music coming from the United States. You've got some country. You've got R&B. R&B, blues. That was it. Computers weren't invented at this point. There was no computers in music. So the Beatles, which are probably the best band of all time, obviously incredible, they sound the way they sound because they had such a narrow influence of music. Mm-hmm. Fast forward to 50 or 60 years later. Think about everything that's come between the Beatles and now. All the music that's been released, computers coming in. You've got EDM where there's not one live instrument on the album. All of that combined together, and you've got someone in their room as a 13-year-old listening with their headphones, and they're like, I want to be a musician. Mm-hmm. They are taking on the influence of 60, 70, 80 years of music prior to them that they're listening to, taking on that influence, and they're not trying to fit in a box. That is why music today is what it is. That is what we're talking about today. Saying that country music is not good today is you're not paying attention because you've got people who have listened to many genres over decades of music. And that's nothing against the Beatles. They're my favorite band of all time. Mm-hmm. But the Beatles did not have many things, many wells to go to take influence from, is my point.
Yeah, for sure. It's like what you said reminded me. Do you remember factorials in school? Like 2 times 1 and 3 times 2 times 1 and then 4 times 3 times 2 times 1. Like, you do have so much more to borrow from. And that it doesn't at all diminish from what the early greats did.
No.
They had to start somewhere, but
everybody
started somewhere, right? Like, if you think that country music started with Hank Williams and you don't know about the Carter family and you don't know about Jimmie Rodgers, if you think that rock music started with Elvis Presley, you know, don't know about Chuck Berry, and even before that, you don't know anything about Jackie Brenston, and if you don't know before that, you don't know anything about Delta Blues music, and you don't know about anything that was going on in Memphis. Like, everything has something else that came before it. No one creates something out of nothingness. That's what's cool, to your point, is that everything that we listed out today, I think kind of the twist here is that if you say you don't like country music at this point in 2021, that means you don't like anything. Right? You don't like rock music. You don't like, because country music now has taken on all of those genres that you say that you love. And so, you know, the point here isn't to say like everything, like there's going to be stuff on here that just doesn't suit your tastes. That's fine. But don't say you don't like everything about something. Find your way in something that, you know, and take a risk and to speak to your friends about it. And this is something that if you really want to develop as someone who listens and appreciates to music, don't close yourself off to anything, because as much as we listen to country music always, but in the last week preparing for this episode, I also listened to a fuck ton of Drake and a fuck ton of Olivia Rodrigo and a fuck ton of everything else. And that doesn't mean that I like all rap or all pop or all rock, but you got to find what you like and don't close yourself off to something that's good. Thanks for listening to the episode. We hope that you found something new that you liked. If you did, engage with us on Instagram. Engage with us on Twitter. We got the idea for this episode from a fan online. I don't remember if it was Instagram or Twitter, Jordan, but they were talking to us about like how much we talk about country music. And they were like, well, I don't like country music, so what should I listen to? And we made an entire episode basically in response to them. And so it's important, you know, that we get a sense of what's on your mind. It's important that we get a sense of what you think about the show. If you don't like it, tell us. If you like it, tell us too. But we'll see you over there on Instagram and Twitter. If you want to engage with us, go ahead and give us a follow. You can also follow us on Spotify, and you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. If you want to give us a review, please do. We do look at them. And then do us the biggest favor of them all. Right now, pick up your phone. Jordan's doing it too. And I want you to pull up your native messaging app, or if you so choose, you can choose any third-party messaging app. What I'm about to say will work on everything. Pick it up right now. I'll wait. Okay, now that you have it in your hand, open that app, type in someone that you know that doesn't listen to this episode, and you know either hates country music, or you think won't like country music, or if you think would just like the sound of our voice, and ask them if they've heard about Sounds Good to Us. Tell them to listen to it and tell them that you won't talk to them until they do. And then when they tell you that they did, you can talk to them and go on to normal life, and then ask them to do the same. We believe that music is best shared with others. And so if this is something that means something to you, share it with your friends, and we would love to be able to engage with them as well. So thanks for doing that. You can put your phone away now, or you can open up whatever pornography or Facebook that you were looking at.
Thank you. See ya.